T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday, the opening day of the 2020 NFL season as well. Longtime Falcons report coming up in about 25 minutes. We'll get back into some of what we talked about with Arch. I loved what Arch said about if this offense is going to run the way that we want it to. Very similar to what we've been saying all offseason, Randy. Those guys on the right side got to protect Matt Ryan. What I didn't know was that Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan both got sacked 50 times last year. I didn't realize both quarterbacks were dealing with that.
Dude, because you remember the thing with Russ holds onto the ball a lot and everything like that.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, yeah.
And you remember, they ain't been the same. That offensive line ain't been the same since Max Unger. And that's crazy how long ago they traded away Max Unger. You remember when they traded Max away?
That's it, like, just ain't been the same. 7 years ago.
And they never have fixed it. They never have fixed it. It's always been a patchwork offensive line and everything. And so when he said that about Russell, I wasn't surprised because of how Russell does hang on to the football. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was like, because he makes a great point. Because you think, okay, well, Russ can move, so he can get out of these situations. But a lot of times, Russ spins and Houdini's his way into sack sometimes too.
True, he does. That's why that secondary rush is so valuable with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Like, and I guess that would be maintaining your assignments and staying where you're supposed to be and not trying to be a hero or whatever, but he's going to get away from the first guy usually. The best move you can make or the best play you can make is that second guy being there in his face, because that's when Russ makes a mistake. You go back and look at that playoff game that the Seahawks and the Falcons played against each other back in 2016. Russell Wilson made some terrible throws in that game because of the secondary rush, because of that wave that was in his face once he got away from Vic or whoever he got away from. That's when he makes those terrible throws. He's trying to be a hero at that point. And he's going to do that 2 or 3 times on Sunday. I guarantee it. He will throw the ball into a place where most quarterbacks in the NFL will not try to throw the ball. And DeMonte KZ or A.J. Terrell or somebody in that Falcons secondary has to be there to pick it off. Anyway, we'll get to that and some Falcons conversation. We'll get to the Falcons conversation in a minute as well, but the full Lunchtime Falcons report coming up in about 20 minutes. Some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt coming up at 12:40 as well. People are asking for you to give them a warning, Randy, before you're going to say some stuff, like you said, in the Wendy Zone, so they can set their drink down and not spit their coffee all over their computer.
What happened?
I guess there was some spit takes happening over, you know, COVID Carol and the Q-tips and everything that's going on down there in Orlando.
Yeah, man, you know, I be trying to, but you know, I don't rehearse. I just say stuff. Uh-huh. You know, and you know, we've had situations. One of my homegirls almost got in a car wreck, and I don't remember what the hell we said that day. You know, it just come off, man. I apologize. I do apologize. No, I don't.
No,
I don't.
No, don't. Don't apologize for it.
Stop drinking water at your desk.
I would say, like, during the Wendy Zone, just be careful with your drink, because the Wendy Zone tends to be one of the segments. Like, whenever we have those, we did the at the beginning of quarantine, remember, the promo bracket, like the funny moment promo bracket. I would say like 75% of them came out of the Wendy Zone.
Yeah.
So at 11:40, just be careful, you know.
Yeah, because it's you know, cause we always gonna say something crazy. I know I am. You know, that's just how I am. You know, because eventually you're like, okay, we gotta have some fun too. Sports is cool. And for the most part, we talk sports. We just throw some other stuff in there.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah, you know. But I mean, that's gotta be the only reason, because ain't no way in the hell I'm dropping all that for Carol, unless Carol gonna marry me or Carol gonna be my lady. All right. I'm sorry. You know what? You don't want this long. You got three more days until y'all go home.
I know. That's the thing. You're so close to going home. The Rockets are going to lose to the Lakers, and you're going to go home. And then you can do whatever you want. Any person you're interested in. You don't have to wait there. Somebody got an email, by the way. You don't have to be just going with COVID, Carol. You can expand your horizons. The entire Houston or wherever it is that you live. Anyway, let's get to the big clip.
Red Bones.
Brought to you by Johnson and Allday. There you go. Doing it again. Somebody spit their coffee
out. Day.
Injury attorneys, visit johnsonallday.com.
I think that's, you know, one of the challenges going in to say, how do we affect the quarterback and protect the quarterback? And so that's been, you know, obviously a topic all the way through the offseason, but they've added some new players into theirs as well, just as we have. And I think that's going to be future one of the real battles in the game is, you know, affecting the quarterback, protecting him. Obviously, the ball is going to be a big factor.
Yes. Dan Quinn talking about what's going to be some keys to the game on Sunday against the Seahawks. That also could be a key against any team they're going to play every single game this year. Don't turn the ball over. Protect Matt Ryan and get to the other team's quarterback. Rinse and repeat. Do that every single Sunday throughout the year. You know, it's a little bit more difficult against certain teams, but like Dave Archer told us, partially because Russell Wilson holds the ball a long time, partially because the Seahawks offensive line has been terrible. And I mean terrible over the last handful of seasons. You should be able to, if you're going to be able to get to a quarterback early in a season, offensive line cohesiveness is not there yet. This is an offensive line that hasn't been able to protect Russell Wilson anyway. If Dante Fowler and Tack McKinley are going to get in the backfield and get a quarterback on the ground at any point this season, this one seems like a good week to do it.
Yeah, man. I mean, and you know, we'll go back to something that my main man Hugh says. They come in bunches, man. And the one thing that you can do is that if you can make that tackle a little shaky, and him, you know, and the one thing that you always notice, you know, when a tackle's shaky about a rusher, that leg starts shaking. Boy, that leg starts shaking at it because you're so scared, you're so trying to get out so fast. Is that, you know, that's when those counter moves and things like that happen because you're beating them so bad that you're trying so hard to get out there and stop that initial rush. Why not get out there? That's the thing. I mean, because you're going to have the pressure at the middle with Grady, you know, and no quarterback likes pressure right there. The thing about Russell is that Russell will exploit those lanes, so you got to have that lane discipline when you're rushing a guy like Russell Wilson. That's why one of the first things I talked to Dave about was the D-line rotation is going to be so pivotal in this game on Sunday. And we'll talk more about it tomorrow when we break down, you know, our keys and everything tomorrow. But they have got to find a way. They got to stay fresh, but they got to get – when they get an opportunity, they got to get Russ on the ground. You got to get him on the ground. You got to put him in a situation, especially on third down with Russell, is that Russell will throw it to you on third down if you got him wrapped up. If you got him wrapped up around his leg, instead of taking that down and punting, Russ is going to try and throw the football. That's when you get your opportunities for turnover.
What did you call it? Lane discipline?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say earlier. Russell Wilson's going to try to duck and dodge and get up and get through and all that kind of stuff. If you're there, especially for once he makes the first guy miss, that's where you get your sacks against Russell Wilson. It's that second or third rusher that gets the sack against Russell Wilson. I would love to see that shaky leg offensive lineman more this year for the Falcons. Have the Falcons made an offensive lineman shake his leg at all in the last couple seasons?
That knee and that leg be twitching.
That leg shake? Like, oh, come on. Let's see some leg shake.
Hey, man, I just seen it. You be like, oh, hell, he about to get beat.
You ever have it? Because you're out there blocking.
No, I don't get no leg shake. I don't get no leg shake. Leg shake is when you ain't confident. You might have beat me, but I ain't going to lose my confidence. I seen this one rook, man, we had him. He was Andy. And he was going against Dwight Freeney. And so that leg was shaking, and they had to know I'm split out, right? So I'm detached from the tackle like by 5 yards, right? So we break the huddle. He looks at me. He said, "Hey, can you give me some help?" Dude, I'm 5 yards away.
That's not the
detached.
Play. That's not the play. I'm not supposed to be next to you.
Man, Dwight, oh Lord, I mean, Dwight almost killed Bulger.
Damn.
Man, I mean, it was so bad. It was so bad. It was like, if you're in that situation, you got to tackle him. You know, you just tackle
just hold
the
him.
Guy.
Just hold him. Yeah, don't let him kill Mark Bulger.
And he just hit Bulger right. He hit Bulger right between them team, right between that one, and that zero.
That's the left tackle you're talking about.
Yeah, Dwight Freeney hit him. Yeah, we didn't see Bulger no more that season.
Damn.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah, that's what we want. I want to see some leg shake. I want Dante Fowler and Tack McKinley to cause some leg shake because you know what we've had the last couple years, at least I have.
Oh, go ahead, say it.
Sack envy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought you might say something else. You
know I don't want to have sack envy anymore.
Nobody wants to have sack envy. That's why.
What do you think I was going to say? What could
I don't
be
know
worse
because
than that?
I thought you were going to say something else. But you wanted, I thought you were going to say you wanted some legs shaking or something. I don't know. But no, they got it. The important thing about them is this: you start with the pressure, because the one thing we know about Dan, even though you know Raheem is calling the defense, Raheem still does the philosophy thing that Dan wants implemented. And Dan does not want to have to bring in blitz extra guys. You want those guys in coverage. So if you can just constantly get pressure without having to bring an extra guy, because when you bring that extra guy, that leaves voids. And you're young in the back end, especially the corner out of the corner's position and everything. So the one thing about them is that I look at this wide receiver core for Seattle. There's not a double team worthy guy right now. Now, DK could eventually become that. But there's not a double team worthy guy. Now, I'm sure they're going to double some guys. I'm sure they're going to double Lockett when he's inside and stuff like that, bracket him and all those things. But, I mean, if you can find a way to just hold up these receivers and make Russ uncomfortable, which it seems like Russ is never uncomfortable, you can win this game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we'll get more into that in 15 minutes in the Lunchtime Falcons Report. Obviously, tomorrow with our keys to the game and all that. Jarvis is going to join us tomorrow. Chris Goforth going to join us tomorrow from the Falcons Radio Network. So still plenty of time to talk about how you do it. They can do it. They can do it. I mean, teams have done it to Russell Wilson and the Seahawks offense. It's just a matter of what it's going to take for the Falcons to do it. So we'll get back to that in 15 minutes. The Braves did it last night, man. They made history. The most runs ever scored in a National League baseball game. They put 29 runs, 29 of them, on the board against the Marlins. Here's Brian Snitker talking about the offense.
Yeah, you know, offense is great. Duvall's just been something else lately. A lot of these guys have. I mean, but, you know, it's just one of them weird nights where, you know, cause they just get rolling.
Yeah, come on, Snit. Enjoy it a little bit more than that. I know it's even keel, baseball manager, all that kind of stuff. It's not just one of those nights. You scored 29 damn runs. It's never happened before in the history of the National League. Never happened before in the Braves' history. I think what's the second most runs ever? The Rangers scored 30 or something like that a couple years ago. I think it's a little bit more than one of those nights, but I understand. Baseball managers have to keep it cool.
You said this the other day, though, Buck, how he's in, how he's upbeat in a loss and how he is in a win. You said this earlier this week. So, I mean, and that's a perfect example of it, man. And yeah, you put on a show last. I just looking at the TV, the scroll just came by. Somebody won 19-0 yesterday. So you just like
the Brewers did.
Yeah. Like, how you just don't score no damn runs, like none. Say they put up 19 and you ain't get one.
Yeah, that's brutal.
That's
how
bad.
Do you score 19 runs and have an amazing offensive day like that and still get outscored by 10 by another team? The Brewers like, ooh, nobody's going to be better than us offensively today. And then the Braves go out there and score 20. They scored 4 touchdowns and a 2-point conversion last night against Miami. And Adam Duvall was a big part of it. Adam Duvall talked after the game as well.
Man, it's pretty crazy, to be honest. You know, I mean, I've known that homers come in bunches, but, you know, something like that is pretty special.
It is. 3 homers last night. Grand slam to cap it off. Had a 3-home run game last week in Boston. First Braves player ever, by the way, to have multiple 3-home run games in a franchise that's got, you know, Hank Aaron and Eddie Matthews and Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones. I mean, a lot of guys have hit a lot of home runs in this franchise history. For him to be the first ever to do that. I also think it's important to give a little bit of the tip of the cap to Alex Anthopoulos on this one. He got Adam Duvall for Lucas Sims, Preston Tucker, and Matt Whistler. And
dude, I remember I remember those guys.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. And I'm glad we have Adam Duvall now instead of them.
Hopefully we can get, you know, next season or whatever, we can say something about some of the guys that are here now. Hey, I remember those guys.
Yeah, right. Another good trade. Maybe being willing to part with prospects can work in the long run. The other good thing about Adam Duvall is he's under contract until 2022. So the Braves have him on low money going forward. I mean, I don't see any reason why Adam Duvall shouldn't be in the lineup playing left field every day for the rest of the season.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, have him out there. I also don't see any reason why Ronald Acuña shouldn't be playing center field every day for the rest of the season either, because Ender Inciarte made 2 outs. 2 of the 3 outs when the Braves scored 11 runs in the second inning. Ender made 2 damn outs. Come on, Ender.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, it's been kind of, you know, not as hot, Andy.
Yeah, yeah, I guess the humidity's down. So, and there's not out there. He also dropped a fly ball yesterday. Like, if you're going to be in the lineup, be a great defensive center fielder.
For what they say you're in the lineup for, and then everybody's like, that's Ender's fault. Yeah, I know it's Ender's fault, but I'm going to blame damn Tommy for letting the guy hit the ball to Ender. All right?
Blame Tommy,
I know
too. Tommy isn't good.
Yeah, I know. That was Ender's fault. He should have caught it. Yeah, I know Ender should have caught it, but I'm blaming Tommy because Tommy should have let him hit the damn ball.
How about let's blame them both? How about that? If the Braves are going to keep winning and keep their head above water like we talked about yesterday, it's going to be on the offense. You just, you know, you can't count on anything from the starting pitching right now. They are the worst starting rotation in all of baseball. Luckily, they're the best offense in all of baseball. I'm not saying they're going to have to score, you know, they're not going to score 15 runs every single night, but they might have to score like 8, you know.
Is way it's looking.
They might have to score 9, you know.
Way it's
Tommy
looking.
Malone's going to go out there and look like that every night. You're going to have to score a whole bunch. The NFL starts tonight. Here's Deshaun Watson talking about tonight's matchup with the Chiefs.
Nice opportunity. You know, the NFL did a good job with, you know, creating a schedule. And, of course, you know, we got an opportunity to go into the defending Super Bowl champs, you know, home stadium right off the bat and compete with a great team. So, you know, that's what we want. I mean, you don't want to come in and have, you know, this is the best opportunity you can have to be able to start the season off of 2020. So we were very excited, and, you know, we had to get the work. We had to put in extra work.
Looking forward to seeing it tonight. Deshaun Watson, quarterback for the Texans after he got paid last week. Patrick Mahomes got paid a whole bunch of money this offseason as well. I saw this question earlier this week, maybe last week, Randy, about Mahomes. Who's Mahomes' rival? Like, does Patrick Mahomes have a natural rival right now?
Well, I think that if you look at, and I know a lot of people want to compare it like to Brady and Peyton and everything. I will look at Deshaun and Lamar.
Okay.
I think they're all they're in that whole little thing, and there might be some more younger quarterbacks. Like if Baker can get it together, you could put him in there. Some of those young guys, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I think when you look at like Dak, I think Dak's only rivalry is Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
But. You know, for him, because they're all so young and they're all like just headline type players, that's how I would look. I would look at it as those three guys.
I'm with you. I still think that it's a pretty wide margin between him and them, just, you know, based on what he's done and how ridiculously talented he is. But I'm with you. It's always fun to have rivalries, and I think these two guys are rivals tonight. They're friends as well, but can't wait to see them square off tonight as the season gets underway. Falcons kick off at 1 o'clock on Sunday against the Seahawks. We'll come back and get to the Lunchtime Falcons report, talk about what the X factor is for the Falcons on offense and defense, and what's this team going to be able to hang their hat on? What's the Falcons' identity going to be, ideally? We'll get to that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday, opening day of the NFL season, 8 hours until kickoff, Randy.
Yes, we know. Thanks, Wendy.
Well, Wendy's just letting us. She's keeping us up to date. That's what great producers do.
Is she not? And she's great, but she's.
She is.
One thing, Wendy's her excitement, is her pure joy. It's always fun. You know, we had some funny conversations about her getting mad. She got mad at the buddy today, Groucho. She said she got mad. She called him by his whole name. I was like, I wish I could have been there just to hear that conversation and see his reaction. Like, what? Like, these animals, I told Jared jumped out the cage because they didn't lock the cage when they put him back in. I get up this morning because I had a headache last night. So I got about 2:30, so I've been up since, like, 2:45,
uh-huh.
just sitting up. And so, can I find me a new show on Netflix, Hell on Wheels. For some reason, I like it. But anyway, so I'm like, hearing his noise. I'm like, is that a rat in my damn house? No, it's damn Jared loose out the cage, just bouncing around here.
I thought it was Gary.
Yeah, Gary. I said
you
Jared.
Said Gary.
Yeah. Gary just bouncing around. Like, what the hell is that? How the hell did you get out?
It's like Gary, Larry, Jerry Gergich from Parks and Rec. I know that you never watched that show, but for some people out there, that was a dynamite.
Can I start
reference.
Watching that show?
No, I don't think you'd like it. Okay. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. Just based on the type of humor, that type of comedy that you tend to like, I don't think you'd like it that much. Maybe you would. I could be wrong. Right. It's kind of it's that dumb kind of humor that I like. You know,
like I bet you like Seinfeld, didn't you?
I did. I love Seinfeld. Okay. It's a hilarious show.
I think it's corny as hell.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. The Office. Did you like The Office? Did you ever Cornette. See the
Office? I didn't watch it. But you remember how everybody got on me because I was like, any bruhs, and all the bruhs came up, man, I watched The Office.
Yeah.
Okay, I asked a question. I didn't say bruhs don't watch it. I asked if bruhs watch it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I watched Office. Cool.
I think Parks and Rec's the funniest show ever, but to each their own. Not everybody loves all the same stuff. I think Seinfeld's one of the funniest shows ever. Wendy hates it. That's okay. That's fine. We're all entitled to our own opinions when it comes to that type of stuff, and that's totally fine. We'll get to some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt coming up in about 15 minutes. Before we get there, though, it is time for the Lunchtime Falcons Report.
It's hard to describe, but you know it when you're around it. And I've been around, you know, some great players to know what that looks like, and he certainly has that.
It's time for the Lunchtime Falcon Report with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So that's Matt Ryan talking about Todd Gurley from yesterday. And I know we talked about this earlier in the show, Randy. We've talked about it ever since they signed Todd Gurley. I think the optimism and the hope is there for him. I can't wait to find out what he actually looks like on Sunday. And I know you said this earlier, too, and I'm with you. What Todd Gurley does on Sunday doesn't necessarily tell the entire tale of what he's going to look like all season. Sunday right. could be a game they use him less. It could be a matchup they like or they don't like, whatever. Like, one game doesn't say everything about 16 of them. But I think we'll get a good indication of how healthy Todd Gurley is on Sunday, and I can't wait to find out.
I see, that's another thing. I mean, I guess. Because when you look at it, I mean, when they say the first time you put on the pads in training camp, you never go to the season at 100%. But the thing is his whole thing is how they manage it. You know, I'm assuming that he'll probably get every Wednesdays off and stuff like that just to manage it and make sure that he's ready to go on Sundays. I mean, if he goes for 150 yards on Sunday against the Seattle, I'll be excited and I'll love it, but I won't look at it as like, oh, he's back or he's going to be the old Todd girl. I won't allow myself to think that about anything in sports after one game. And I'll be happy about it, but I won't force myself to be like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I won't do that. I just go week to week and judge it by then. And then once I have a large enough sample size, and then I can inform my opinion of how it's going to be.
The sample size drop, real media member stuff.
That's not media member. That's somebody that's been in them foxholes over there that's about to go on Sunday. And no, dude, I just started out 1-4, and we ended up 9-7. And I just started out 4-0, and we ended 5-11. So I'd have been there. So I know
right.
that. But hold
absolutely.
On. I saw something real quick, and I just can't be right. Just correct me if I'm right or if I'm wrong on this, Andy. I just saw this. It says if the Falcons win on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It'll be the first time since 2017 that they've had a winning record at any point. That can't be right.
That makes sense.
That yeah. can't be right, dog.
Sure it can. 2018, they started the season what? 0-1, but they started the season 2-4, something like that.
Oh my!
And I think they got back to 500, but then they went on a losing streak after that. Last year, I mean, they're 0-1, and then they were 1-1, and then they were 1-7. So yeah. Yes, that will be the first time they've been over 500 since 2017. Yeah. I mean, it's only 2 years. Stats like that are always weird to me because it makes it seem like a lot longer than it is. We know the Falcons are 7-9 the last two seasons. We know that.
Yeah.
We also know they didn't start out 1-0 in either one of those two seasons. So, yeah, that's true. That's not an incorrect stat, and hopefully they get there. If Todd Gurley goes for 150 yards on Sunday, like you just said, and
they're going to win.
I know you weren't predicting that, but that was something that you mentioned. They'll win the game.
Yeah, they win.
Yes. Yeah. And if Todd Gurley is effective throughout the season, they're going to win a lot of games. And that's why, you know, we're talking about X factors offensively. We'll let you hear what Arch said about what he thinks the offensive X factor might be in just a minute. I don't think there's any bigger X factor on the Falcons team, offensively or defensively, than Todd Gurley. If Todd Gurley is that guy on Sundays and you can rely on him like that and he looks anything like what he was in Los Angeles, then the Falcons offense is going to be ridiculous.
Let me tell you something, man. Did you see how great Jared Goff was when he went to the Super Bowl? That was Todd Gurley. That's because of Todd. You saw what happened after Todd wasn't there? Now, Matt Ryan, Jared Goff is nowhere near the quarterback that Matt Ryan is. Nowhere near. If Matt gets 70% of what that – not 70% Todd Gurley. I'm talking about 70% of that kind of production that Todd had. Watch out.
Yeah, I agree. Asked Dave Archer in the 11 o'clock hour. Arch is going to join us for the Dave Archer Report, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia every single Thursday throughout the season. Asked him that same question. What do you think the Falcons' offensive X factor is? This is what he said.
Well, I think it's you got to point towards how quickly the guys on the right side of the offensive line, you know, Quinn talks about how exponentially guys get better in their second year. That's going to happen for Lindstrom and McGarry. They're going to have to be exponentially better. And then at some point, Matt Hennessy is going to take over at left guard. How quickly he's been good in camp, but again, we don't have those games to rely on. We have college footage. How much does he transition? How much can he handle some of the looks he's going to get, some of the different blitzes? But how well that group plays to keep Ryan off his rear end, right?
100% agree with what Dave Archer said there. It's a conversation we've been having throughout the offseason, Randy, is the offensive line play dictates whether or not the Falcons' offense will be successful. I mean, that's true of every team in the NFL, but we're focused on the Falcons, and we know what this offense can look like when the offensive line is good. We know what the offense can look like when they haven't been good over the last couple of seasons. And this is going to sound like a detraction of Matt Ryan to some people or an insult towards Matt Ryan. It's not what I'm saying. The Todd Gurley part of it, the X factor on the offense, is because of what it would do for the passing game and what it would do for Matt Ryan. The offensive line, that right side, gelling quickly, like Arch said, and Matt Hennessy coming along and protecting Matt Ryan, is vital because you protect your biggest asset and your quarterback. Mm-hmm. When you look at the teams that are going to be successful in the NFL every year, but this year specifically, the Chiefs and Texans tonight, the reason you feel confident about those teams is because they have great quarterbacks. The edge that they have is their great quarterback. I think the edge the Falcons have is Matt Ryan on a given Sunday. But if Matt Ryan's on his back, that edge is taken away. They got to do everything they possibly can to put Matt Ryan in the best position to throw the football. And if they do that, I think the Falcons can be really good this year.
They could be. They could be. But, I mean, are you going to bank on the Falcons being good?
No, I'm not. I've banked on the Falcons being good the last couple of years, and they haven't. And the difference is they didn't protect Matt Ryan, and they couldn't play any defense or something.
I hope they're good. I really hope the Falcons have a good year this year. I do. And of course, the fans deserve that. They do, man. I mean, they deserve it. But I think these players deserve it. You know, it's been so frustrating these last few years because you see what's on this roster. But it just always seems like it's something. If it's not the play calling, then it's the O-line we can't get the quarterback. It's always something. When is it time to put this together? Because last time they put it together, they went to the damn Super Bowl. You know, so when can granted, Kyle Shanahan was the OC. I mean, I know he's one of the most hated people. Who's hated more in Atlanta, Shanahan or Sean Payton?
Sean Payton.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can't deny the fact that he called the plays.
Huh? Yeah, right. And that's the thing. Absolutely right. I'm with it, and it's fun to slander him and all that. He's annoying. He's got a punchable face. But he was a damn good offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
And the last time the Falcons had an elite edge over the rest of the teams in the NFL, he was a big part of calling those plays. Because you're right, Randy, it does always seem to be something. It's this, it's that, it's the other thing. But there is always going to be something bad that happens on a Sunday. Like, you're not going to have
no Sunday is perfect.
Yeah, you're not going to have all things firing on all cylinders every single week. But that's why the Falcons have to get back to doing something consistently better than the rest of the league, but obviously their opponent, most weekends. And that's what it was in 2016. They had consistent offensive line play, which allowed their offense to be dynamic. The other thing they did in 2016 that they haven't done since then is they had a guy who led the NFL in sacking the quarterback in Vic Beasley, and they had a guy who led the NFL in causing fumbles in Vic Beasley. We also had Keanu Neal causing fumbles in 2016. The Falcons haven't taken the ball away at all over the last few years. They haven't hit the quarterback at all. Like, we focus so much on the offense because it's so obvious from those years. But there's other things they did well, too. And those things they have not done well over the last couple of seasons.
One thing about it was is that you look at the defense, they got better and better as the season went on. They were young, but I think the biggest thing, y'all can say, they took the ball away. And it's amazing when you steal possessions. And you got to steal possessions sometimes in the game. And we talk about different offense, different defenses. They got to be better in both parts of the red zone this year. This is a critical red zone year. I love what Art said, and he said it before with us. Todd Gurley is a touchdown scorer. Just has a nose for the end zone. You know, and so if you can find a way, read something else that you're talking about getting Julio the ball more in the red zone. Duh. You know, I mean – get the guys who you know that can score touchdowns. Give them the ball. Give them the ball.
use your advantages. Those guys are your advantages. Make them great advantages, and you can win a lot of football games. We'll come back. We'll get to some damn good questions with Brian. We'll get back to what's trending top of the 1 o'clock hour. Smoke and Joe Patrick going to be with us an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Petrino. Yeah.
What'd Petrino do? We'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Trillville Thursday, opening day of the NFL season. NBA playoffs tonight. Braves are back at it. We are in the thick of things, Randy. Remember when we dreamed about this back in the summer and it was like, man, if they can make this work, there's going to be times this fall where it's almost too much. You got to get the second TV out tonight, right? Like, you got to have multiple screens to make sure you see everything that's going on tonight.
Yeah, just like last night.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. we rolled deep over here.
Last night?
Huh?
Would you have multiple? Yeah, I had multiple screens too. But I'll be honest with you, and I don't mean this as like a big disrespect or anything like that. But I didn't get the second TV in the living room last night. I'm going to do that tonight for the NFL game and the Braves game.
Uh-huh.
Atlanta United was on they're on the iPad last night.
Oh, I mean, there's no disrespect. I had them on, but
win a game. We'll get the second TV. Win a game.
This is the thing, man. Is that I'm not sure if my woman knows what this weekend is, you know. She know I hibernate on weekends in this house, and so you know like tonight because I tried to, you know, because last night I was gone. I was like, all right, she got home, dinner, bye, downstairs. So she be home a little in like an hour or so right now. So I get to spend a couple hours up here with her, and we'll hold hands and love on each other. Oh, babe. Yeah. Okay. Babe, the wing's ready.
All right, I'll
see you tomorrow. You know, because by the time I come upstairs, everybody went upstairs and went to bed by the time I come from upstairs from watching the football game and everything like that. So, but, you know, because of the fact that Georgia's not playing Saturday, she might get a little bit more time with me on Saturday. Because I'm like, what, are there any really good games on Saturday?
I mean, Georgia Tech, Florida State sounds like a pretty fun game to me.
Okay, first of all, I say good games. And
I think it's going to be a good game.
Of course you do, because you root for that school.
I am rooting for Georgia Tech. I hope they beat Florida State on Saturday.
Whatever. You know.
Yeah.
You might hear about that game tomorrow, though. Never know. Are we picking college games tomorrow or just pro games?
I don't know. That's up to Brian and Wendy. Syracuse, North Carolina. Well, I mean, or up to us. I don't know. They're the ones that generally pick the games. We can pick them, too, if we want.
All right.
We can do whatever you want, Randy. I don't know.
No. I want us to do it. But when you say, like, because I was good at it.
Were you? See, I think you're remembering things. If I remember correctly, last year, you got off to a really bad start and then got better and got back to 500 by the end of the year of picking. Mm-hmm. Brian was the worst, and me and Wendy did a pretty good job throughout the entire season. That's how I remember, and I could be wrong. I could be remembering it wrong.
Okay.
All right, let's get to Brian. It's a lot of science.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678 ESOG now.
Yes, there it is. All right, guys. So what we did last year is we picked two college games, any college games you want, and you picked two NFL games, any ones you want. So we didn't pick the same four games.
Oh, that's right.
I figure
bad.
We go ahead and do that again this year. So we'll probably do that again this year. And yeah, last year no one needs to know what the records were or who did what or anything like that.
Brian was the worst.
I mean,
everybody.
It was just all tied. Listen, I'm a fantasy expert. I'm not a gambling expert. Okay, so don't listen to me too much on those.
Right,
listen to
enough.
The others. All right. So we talked a little bit this last segment with the Falcons about their X factors for the season. But looking at the game this Sunday, Falcons Seahawks. Aside from the Seahawks' main players that the common public knows a lot about, Russ Wilson, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Bobby Wagner, Jamal Adams, those types, who are the other guys that are the X factors for the Seahawks on Sunday?
Oh, I go one right now, Andy, and it's going to test the interior of that line. Jaren Reed is a problem.
Yep.
Jaren Reed is a problem. You know, 2 years ago he had 10.5 sacks, missed some time last year with suspension. He is a problem on that interior. When you talk about this pass rush and against the run.
Yeah, I mean, I think the entire Seahawks front four is just interesting to watch. You're right, Jaren Reed's really good. Puna Ford's a big dude who can get penetration in the middle as well. But they don't get to the quarterback very well. At least they didn't last year. So if this offensive line is going to do what we want it to do for the Falcons this year, stopping those guys, a pass rush that isn't anywhere near on paper, what some of the other pass rushers you're going to see this year are, that would be a good start. I'm also interested to see what Jamal Adams looks like in his first game in that secondary. I think that Seahawks defense is going to be really good by like November, but I think it's going to take a little bit of, because they got some new faces. Again, Jamal Adams, Quandre Diggs playing together for the first time. Quentin Dunbar.
Quandre Diggs can play, man.
Oh, yeah. Quandre Diggs is good.
Quandre can play. That's Jam's little brother.
They got a really good secondary for the first time in probably 4 years. And people thought their secondary was good because it was those names that were a part of the Legion of Boom for a while, but it wasn't exactly the same for a minute. They have a good secondary right now. And again, Bobby Wagner's unbelievable. KJ Wright's still really good. I think that defense has a chance to be good eventually. I just think how quickly the new faces get integrated and how quickly they're all on the same page. It shouldn't be this Sunday. Like, they should have some communication errors on Sunday.
Right.
You should be able to take advantage of that back end a little bit this Sunday. But I think, yeah, Jamal Adams is going to be a huge X factor for that defense all season long.
What's the more interesting storyline to you and why? How Brady does in Tampa or how Cam does in New England?
I think how Cam does in New England. I think because you had such a different vibe for 20 years up there with Tom Brady, and now you have this a different quarterback that is personality, that has a big personality that a lot of people think that the Patriots frown upon.
Yeah.
And I just want to see how this is going to work with them, because right now he got to buy. They have no offensive weapons whatsoever. I mean, Jules, don't know if Sony's going to be healthy. James White, but I mean – there's such a void of outside receivers. Nikhil Harry, you don't know what the hell he's going to get.
No, you don't.
But, I mean, and then, hell, all the Patriot defenders that opted out.
Yeah, if Cam has success, if they win games up there this year, I mean, that's the story of the season. Cam Newton just kicked to the curb by the Panthers. He gets, what did he get, like a $1 million contract or something like that for 1 year to go up there to New England? And the other thing about it, too, is Cam was talking about earlier this week about sort of the changing perception as far as how we think and talk about quarterbacks. Here's Cam.
I think the league is in a place where, you know, we have accepted that change of, you know, not saying that it's right or wrong or indifferent, it's just different. Mm-hmm. You know, coming up where, you know, if you wasn't Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Drew Brees, you was going to be a failure. You know what I'm saying? And those guys are all great, obviously, with their careers. But there's a thousand ways to skin a cat.
Yeah, I agree with that. The way that the quarterback position is looked at right now is so different than it was even 10 years ago. Tonight's a great example. You got Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes playing on the opening night of the season tonight against each other. And if Cam Newton replaces Tom Brady and has success in Boston, like, we understand all of the context of this. If that happens, that just furthers what he's talking about right there, and how what was looked at as a, quote, franchise quarterback or a, quote, you know, stereotypical quarterback isn't what it is anymore. Like, there's a lot of different ways to play quarterback in the NFL right now, and I think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing where, like you said, not even 10 years ago, we know everybody knows, and I think they beat it, the dead horse about the whole Bill Polian and Lamar Jackson thing and all that. I mean, it is. It's one way. It's certain ways that you got to play quarterback. All right, I do think that you have to be able to throw from the pocket. I do agree with that, but I don't think that's the only way you not have to play the quarterback position. But do you have to make plays inside the pocket to be a successful quarterback? It's just not the only way that you have to do it.
The idea of a prototypical quarterback,
it's no longer there.
It doesn't exist anymore. There's a lot of different ways to be that. And I think it's great. And Cam Newton succeeding in Boston would be really big. So, I don't know, that one to me. I'm rooting for him. I don't like the Patriots, but I like Cam Newton. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Smoke and Joe Patrick going to join us. Braves scored 29 runs last night. He'll join us at 1:20. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.